Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 2nd of September. This hour of the program, we're going to be responding to the Republican National Convention, the continuing news about vice presidential pick Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska, and welcoming your phone calls. Unfortunately, we hope to have two viewpoints here for you today, and we just received word that the columnist for the American Spectator and associate editor for the Washington Examiner will not be able to do our program because of a conference call with his editor. So Dermot Cole, the columnist for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner, has graciously agreed to do the full hour with us. And as everybody wonders more about Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska, we're happy to have him with us to give us more information. He gives us a certain point of view on her. He wrote recently, "I may be proven wrong, but the decision announced by McCain strikes me as reckless. She is not prepared to be the next president should something happen to McCain." So this is a viewpoint that's different than the viewpoint we had yesterday. And I'm sorry Quinn couldn't be with us to present yet another viewpoint, but that's the way it goes. Well, welcome phone calls for Dermot Cole, who is columnist for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner, at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, just use that same number. And we also have an email that you can use, and that's talk@wpr.org. Dermot Cole, columnist for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner, is our guest for this hour, and we thank you so much, Dermot, for being with us. Hello.
Well, Kathleen, it was great to be here, and look forward to talking with you.
Yeah, we'll have a good hour, I'm sure. You did write, "You may be proven wrong, but the decision announced by McCain strikes you as reckless. She is not prepared to be the next president should something happen to McCain." Pretty strong language. Why do you feel that way?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Governor Palin as governor of Alaska. In the past year and a half, going on now close to 2 years, she's done a good job in dealing with some of the critical issues here, mainly about oil taxes. She shepherded a fairly significant increase in oil taxes on the oil companies. That was pretty popular in Alaska. And she's also come up with an innovative plan to develop Alaska's natural gas on the North Slope. Now, having said that, I just don't think that her, you know, range of experience is enough to make me think that she's qualified to be the president should something happen to Senator McCain. I mean, she's got a great deal of talent, but her experience in public office is pretty limited. Before she was governor, her main experience was as a city council member and then later as mayor of the town of Wasilla, which is a small suburb of Anchorage. And just to give you some idea of the scale of the election there, when she was elected mayor in 1996, it was just with a little more than 600 votes.
Hmm.
So it's a very small town.
It's a small place.
And, so anyway, that's my judgment. There are many people in Alaska who disagree with me, and I've been hearing from them. And,
but, I'm sure you have.
but the this to me is, you know, I guess I would look at it this way. You know, let time will tell on this question. I guess I think that she requires more experience before taking this kind of step.
Mm-hmm. The professor we had on yesterday, Professor Gerald McBeth, who was highly in, very much in favor of her nomination and thinks the world of her, did say something that I found interesting. He's from the University of, you probably know him, Professor of Political Science.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he might have taught a class I took one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a small world, isn't it? Yeah. He spoke glowingly of her. The one thing that he did say, which I found somewhat disturbing, and some listeners did, is that when asked by a listener, would she be ready to handle all of the challenges of the world, terrorism, et cetera, he said she's a smart person. She could be up and running within a year. I wonder what your response to that would be.
Well, I guess I don't believe that. I don't think that's – I mean, let me back up. She is a smart person. She's got a great deal of talent, and I would not be one to underestimate her ability or her skills. Still, being governor of Alaska, which, despite its physical size, is a small state. Our population is less than 700,000.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many cities in the lower 48 that are significantly larger and present significantly greater management challenges than the state of Alaska. I just believe she needs a great deal more, you know, depth of experience, let's say. I don't know that she has dealt at all with any of the major national issues affecting the country other than those in which Alaska has a specific interest. And by that, I would say oil and gas is at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But this is because of our physical distance from the lower 48 states and Hawaii. Alaska politics is dominated oftentimes by what might seem to be a parochial view, meaning we don't care a great deal about what happens in bordering states because there are no bordering states.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an intensive focus, obsessive, you might also, you might say, on the issues that specifically relate to Alaska. And her career in public life has been consumed by those.
Right. That's interesting. Let's spend a few moments as this goes on day to day. You wonder seriously what's down the road here. But it's interesting, and you can't expect the media to do something else with this story. The disclosure that her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant, Bob Herbert writing, I don't know if you've seen the Times today, that first, your response to this, the press is not going to be off this story, and if anything, they're going to be looking for other stories. The Democrats need to be careful about the intensity of their criticism of Sarah Palin. They shouldn't push this stuff too far. She has a more appealing personality than the often testy guy at the top of her ticket. There are millions of voters who will identify with her and with her on this issue, and they would be quick to resent attacks that they perceive as bullying or overkill. Your response to this announcement, how the press is dealing with it, and whether or not people, as Obama has suggested, need to lay off the children?
Well, I guess I do think that candidates, families ought to be off limits. I don't think that means, let me back up. It's still early here, by the way. It's only 7 o'clock. Just waking up. Despite those revelations, the press will not stop pursuing this story.
Right.
Once you become in this position in public life, there are very few things that are off limits, and probably one way this story will be pursued would be, did Senator McCain's staff and the senator himself, did he know about this? And why did it end up, announcing it on the first day of the Republican convention?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know they're saying, well, we're responding to Internet rumors. Well, those have been floating around for quite some time. And, I'm not sure. Maybe they reached a special intensity over the weekend or something. But in Alaska, apparently in Anchorage, this news about Governor Palin's daughter has been floating about. If you've ever had a 17-year-old, you know that it's just hard to predict what they might do. So I think the people here will largely be understanding of this situation. It does limit the ability, however, of the governor to make use of her family, in as sort of a campaign tool.
Mm-hmm.
Tool probably sounds like the wrong word, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Like, candidates like to show up with their children, their spouse, and this probably limits that to some degree.
Right. You've covered her for a long time. Do you expect that there's something else out there as today's reports are beginning to – people are starting to wonder, is there something else there that's going to cause her to have to say, I better not keep this this position as vice president?
I guess I'd be loath to suggest that. I don't know. In everyone's life there are things that, you look back on and you wonder, well, was that the right thing to do,
mm-hmm.
considering where I am now? I guess in the mid-1990s, she was, for a brief period, a member of the Alaskan Independence Party, which is a small fringe group that has long expressed the desire for a vote on whether Alaska should remove itself from the Union.
Hmm.
Now, there, you know, but that may sound rather outrageous on its surface, but the party actually elected a governor when Governor, former Interior Secretary Walter Hickel, assumed that party label and became governor in 1990. However, he was always a Republican at heart, not really a member of the Alaskan Independence Party. As far as you know, current issues regarding the governor, the one big unknown, I think, is what will happen with this legislative investigation into, and you might bear with me a minute because this is rather complicated.
No, that's fine.
In July, she fired her public safety commissioner, and the allegation has been made that one reason that he got on her bad side was that he would not get rid of a trooper, state trooper, who was Governor McCain's former brother-in-law.
Governor Palin's?
Okay. Pardon me.
Yeah, that's it.
Governor Palin's former brother-in-law.
Right.
And this has become quite a controversy in Alaska over the past month or so, and there have been numerous news reports on it. Senator McCain or his staff would have easily known about this had they checked. I imagine they did. It's hard to imagine that they didn't. Where this investigation will go, we don't know. But the legislature is conducting its own investigation of the situation, and I guess the timing of that report may now play into this presidential race.
Right.
As a friend of mine put it, what this boils down to is, was there a confusion, perhaps, of the governor's personal life with the public life?
Mm-hmm.
Part of what was revealed with this controversy were a series of documents relating to complaints from the governor and her family about the behavior of this trooper. And some of it is rather strange. For instance, he was accused of firing a taser at his 11-year-old son, and later he said that the 11-year-old son wanted to see what it felt like.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, it is kind of bizarre.
And he was accused of killing a moose out of season and driving drunk in his patrol car. There was great animosity between the governor's family and this trooper, the former brother-in-law, because the governor's sister was undergoing a divorce at the time all this was happening. Now, one final point about this. All this happened before she was governor. So it's very messy and complicated, and it's
right.
Going to take some time to sort itself out. The key thing is whether, during her term as governor, did she take any inappropriate action in terms of forcing her public safety commissioner to discipline this trooper?
Right. It reads like a soap opera in a way, doesn't it? I mean, it is a story that people, because it's sort of absorbing in its own strange way, but it does read like something out of National Enquirer, although they're breaking a lot of news themselves these days, rather than discussion about the affairs of state. It's I can see why Herbert would call this somewhat distracting for us, because it's an incredible story. I mean, instead of talking about terrorism and even what's going on in the Gulf Coast, et cetera, people are distracted by this personal story of hers.
Well, as you can imagine, I'm not, since everything has to have a gate on it, this became Trooper Gate in Alaska, and it is, people have compared it to a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family, kind of a dicey family situation.
Right.
And the question will become, did the governor cross the line and confuse the public life with the personal life?
Mm-hmm.
The public safety commissioner was well-respected, former Anchorage chief of police, and he says the administration was pressuring him to fire this trooper. Now, the governor and her top aides deny this, though a member of her administration did make a what would amount to a taped phone call outlining reasons why he thought the, you know, trooper did not belong as on the state workforce. So what will become of this, I don't know. I think it still has a number of weeks to go before that,
right,
before that sorts itself out. When this began, when the legislature decided to do this investigation, no one expected that she would be a vice presidential nominee.
Right. Let's welcome phone calls. Our lines are all filled. Our guest is Dermot Cole, columnist for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We're responding to the Republican National Convention. We'd also like to move into a discussion of how they have responded to the hurricane on the Gulf Coast. We can look ahead to tonight's speakers. But the big story remains, and there's no way out of this, the vice presidential pick, whether or not she was properly vetted. Now we have another story with a disclosure by the Palins that her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant. The Democrats are saying stay off the children. Obama referencing the fact yesterday that his mother was 18 when he was born. So family, in particular, particularly children, should be off limits in a political discussion. Well, you can't keep television and newspapers from writing about this. And there are also some policy issues related to teen pregnancy. But what a race, right? How it's turned out here. So your thoughts about all of this, and we'll welcome them in a moment. Just keep trying. Our lines are busy, but you'll get through eventually. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We are covering On Point live from the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, the first hour of our program, Monday through Thursday, and then we're live with your response to what you've been hearing and with our guests the second hour, Monday through Thursday. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dermot Cole is our guest, columnist for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. 800-486-8655 is our number. And we start with Scott from Appleton. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for letting me listen to your discussion.
Sure.
Anyway, my question is, in 1994, Sarah Palin and her husband were members of the AIP, the Alaska Independent Party, who's on top of their platform is secession from the union.
Mm-hmm.
And even this year, 2008, I just finished watching it again, a public service video welcoming the AIP convention to Fairbanks, Alaska, with our country being so polarized as it is. How does this benefit the electorate having this on her resume? I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm trying to connect these dots, and I thought I would just call in with this question.
All right, Scott, thanks for the call. Dermot?
Well, Kathleen, I couldn't hear the full question. I think if I understood it right, he's asking, considering the current polarization in the United States, how does her past membership in the Alaskan Independence Party benefit the country?
Right.
Well, that's a good question. The Alaskan Independence Party is a fringe party in Alaska. Some of its members suggest that Alaska should secede from the United States. Now, most of the people in Alaska do not think that's a good idea. And you want to start a good argument, just raise that question
among, I'm sure,
a crowd of Alaskans.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's difficult for me to say how this might be at all beneficial outside of Alaska. That argument does appeal to a certain number of people in our state. It won't carry any weight outside our state.
Mm-hmm. She is no longer a member of that party, I assume?
That's correct. She's a Republican.
Right. And did she count on them? Is the movement substantial enough that she would have counted on them to win office?
No, it's not. It is not that.
I wouldn't imagine.
It's probably in the single digits in terms of the percentage of people who follow that philosophy. I mean, because, you know, Alaska is, I mean, the way I look at it, I, you know, Alaska is heavily dependent on the federal government. It is true that Alaska has vast natural resources and produces a lot of oil and other products, but oil is clearly at the top of the list.
Right.
Still, mainly because of the military involvement, the federal spending in Alaska is a huge element in our economy, and we'd be in bad shape without not only that spending, but without the defense that's provided by the military of this vast region. You have to remember, Alaska is twice the size of Texas, and the idea that we'd be an independent country is ludicrous.
Thank you, Scott, for the call. Ron is next from Madison. Hi, Ron.
The choice of VP is the biggest decision that John ever made. That's bigger than deciding to marry Cindy. No single vote in the U.S. Senate was as important. He probably had at least 100 people, long-term Republican people, as well as the independent guy from Connecticut, and probably others, advising him on this horrendous choice. And they all blew it. This is worse than Baby George picking Harriet Myers to be on the Supreme Court. That was reversible. This may or may not be reversible. In 1972, George McGovern picked Tom Eagleton and said he would stand behind him 1,000% despite the electroshock therapy treatments for depression or some other mental problem. Less than 10 days, they dumped him. So it's still possible for John to dump what's-her-name, but it still counts as the biggest mistake John has ever made in his public life.
Do you agree with that, Dermot?
Well, I'm not sure what other mistakes he's made. I do regard this as a mistake. And again, I respect Governor Sarah Palin for what she's done for our state. I just don't think she's ready for this leap. I have heard many people tell me, well, experience doesn't matter. All that matters is character. And I guess my response to that is that judgment matters. And I would like to know what the thought process was on the part of Senator McCain when he made this judgment. So it as the caller expresses, a large part of this deals with Senator McCain, not with Governor Palin. To some extent, I think that he has put her in an unfair position. She's not fully versed on all of the national issues that vice presidents and potentially presidents have to deal with. She is also not versed on the international issues. I'd say that there is no one in Alaska. I told somebody this yesterday. I don't think there's anyone in Alaska anyone in Alaska politics who is ready to be the next president of the United States. We just don't get the breadth of experience here that other arenas might offer.
Mm. Well, the thought process obviously was that she would attract voters, and so far the response, and you hear it again and again from the conservative wing of the Republican Party, is they love this woman. They love the fact that she's a mom and that has a special needs child and that she's built herself up from the bootstraps, and she's a fighter, and there seems to be a great deal of admiration for her among some of the delegates in St. Paul, don't you think?
Well, viewing it from afar, I just sort of have to go on what I read and see and hear, and I think that's correct. Yeah, she's getting a lot of support from the Republican delegates, just as she gets a great deal of support from Alaska. The people like her. She's tenacious.
Mm-hmm.
She is charming. She's a great person to talk to, and is the kind of person who doesn't give up and isn't afraid of dealing with opposition. In her rise to power here as governor, she had to battle the major elements of the Republican Party. So this is probably, I would think, that is really what attracted John McCain to her. She is at odds with the state Republican chairman, but so far has failed to get him replaced. She has wanted him to be dumped ever since she entered office, but he has resisted resigning. And he has enough support among other Republicans that he's held on to his job. She has crossed swords with, Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, and Representative Don Young. For your listeners that aren't, who need a kind of reminder, this Senator Ted Stevens is the longest-serving Republican in the U.S. Senate, and he's now under a federal indictment for allegedly accepting gifts from a large oil field services contractor named Vico. And Vico has been at the center of the growing Alaska political corruption scandal. Representative Don Young is not been indicted, but he is under a federal investigation for his connections to Vico and also for whatever role he might have had in connection with the famous Coconut Road earmark that was changed in Congress after it was passed. Governor Palin has been distinctly removed from all of that. There's no connection that anyone has made between Governor Palin and between the Vico corruption investigation, which, by the way, is being headed by the FBI. And, you know, most of that's still secret. We don't know how far that's going to go. But so far, I shouldn't say so far. I haven't heard anyone make any suggestion that she should be tied into that.
Right.
She does bring positive things to this situation, and challenging the status quo is, you know, definitely part of her background.
Thanks, Ron, very much for the call. Let's go to Ann from West Dallas next. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am, Ann.
I'm sorry. This is Joanne.
Oh, Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess my question or comment is I haven't heard anybody talk about this whole issue about the pregnant 17-year-old from the standpoint of the 17-year-old and her boyfriend. You know, politics notwithstanding, it just seems like a terrible mistake in judgment on the part of a mother to put her daughter into a position where she knows she would have national scrutiny and in this whole situation. And, I applaud her for going through with the pregnancy and wanting to marry the young man and so on, but knowing what her family was going to go through, it just seems like a terrible error in judgment. And my heart just goes out to this young girl and her boyfriend.
Dermot.
Well, it really does put the Governor Palin's daughter in a tough situation. It's a lot of pressure, and, remembering those years of ancient history when I was 17, it's a tough period in anyone's life. I guess I understand what the caller is getting at, and many people will have thoughts about this. I personally this is not the kind of thing that I would expound upon, because it does seem like a private issue to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a delicate one, and how the governor responds to this will be a key thing. Some people will say, "Well, yeah, she should spend more time with her daughter and not put her in the glare of this national spotlight." I can understand how people will make that argument. I don't think people will make that out in the open in the political arena, however, because that would seem piling on, I guess, or inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
At least to me, it does. I that's not the kind of thing I would write about, is the way I look at discussion of public events.
Right. What about other papers? What about your paper as a whole and the papers in Alaska? Are they all over this story, Dermot, or are they respecting the family's privacy?
No, it's been covered.
Mm-hmm.
Just unfortunately, when you get to this point, you cannot simply say this is a private matter. It's none of your business. I mean, it's just you can't do that. To some extent, it is the public's business, just because of the underlying question about what judgments were made.
Thanks, Joanne, very much for your call. Let's go to Janet from Wheeland. Hi, Janet.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Good.
So first of all, I just want to say that I'm a yellow dog Democrat. So just be that as it may. If Elmer Fudd and Daffy Duck were the Democratic nominees for president and vice president, that's who I'd be voting for.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to Sarah Palin, I also want to say that I don't think that anything goes without planning. And if you don't think that the Republicans didn't know about this when they vetted Sarah Palin for the vice presidential nominee, you're crazy. That the Republicans are wily, they're devious, and I think that this is a ploy on behalf of the Republicans to detract from the fact that this candidate is so inexperienced and so unqualified for this level of vice presidential nomination. I'd like to hear what the guest has to say, because I'm really totally astounded that this, out of all the people McCain could have picked, Ridge, Pawlenty, Lieberman, with vast experience, I am not understanding this selection at all. Can he comment, please?
Well, that's a good question. But as to your notion that you're certain that they knew about this, I'm not positive. I just kind of look at it from a slightly different angle, and I think, what advantage can there possibly be to release this news on the first day of the Republican convention? At the very least, it threatens the idea that her position on the ticket is a way to solidify support among evangelical Christians and the pro-life movement in the United States. It does threaten that to some extent. Perhaps there's a grand, you know, scheme at work here. I'm not sure. One other thought. There is some suggestion that I believe was in the New York Times today that the vetting process, the McCain people arrived in Alaska, I believe, shortly before the announcement was made. So whether or not there was a process is an open question. Many of the people throughout our state who should have been contacted in advance, who you think would have been consulted, were not consulted.
Yeah. Let's try and get you on another phone. Our line is cracking up here a little bit, and we'll welcome more phone calls for you. That's a story that we want to pursue with him, too, a line we want to pursue, that there had not been many people from the McCain campaign checking newspapers in Wasilla, where she was mayor, and perhaps the vetting process, as some Republicans are saying, was not as complete as it should have been. Thank you very much for your call, and we'll welcome more in a moment. We have one line open for you at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. You can also send an email if you'd like, and that's talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Dermot Cole, columnist for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. He has deep concerns about Sarah Palin's experience and whether or not she is prepared, and he doesn't believe she is, to be vice president or president of the country. And we're welcoming your response. We had planned to have another viewpoint here, but got canceled literally 3 minutes into the hour. So it's the way it goes. We're happy to have Dermot with us. We go now to Scott from Green Bay. Hi, Scott. Can you speak up a little, Scott?
Sure, not a problem.
There you go.
Better?
Yes, that's better.
I got to tell you, I'm actually confused by this issue. And the thing I'm confused about is they talk about Sarah Palin's experience or lack of experience, but in all reality and in all truth, the top of the ticket on the other side has less experience and accomplishments. How do we get this backwards? How do we make the bottom of the ticket on the Republican side, lack of experience, the big issue, but the head of the ticket on the Democratic side, he's been in the Senate less than 4 years, he's been campaigning for two, this guy has less experience and less accomplishments than Governor Palin. And if he doesn't, I'd really like somebody to specifically point to the areas where Barack Obama has so much more experience than the bottom of the ticket on the Republican side.
Dermot?
Well, Kathleen, the caller hits on a point that is being repeated by, you know, almost all of the supporters of Governor Palin, who think she was a good choice for vice president. I guess from my own, you know, perspective, I know about the Alaska angle of this. I choose to deal with judging her qualifications because it's something that I know about, and I guess I resist the idea, and maybe I have a problem with people saying, well, who respond to the argument of inexperience by saying, well, look, the other guys who at you know, Senator Obama is inexperienced as well. I don't know that that argument justifies the selection of Governor Palin, at least in the way I look at it. And you have to understand, I hope your listeners will all get this point. I would love to be able to, it would be wonderful to have somebody from Alaska in the highest federal office in the land. And as an Alaskan, that's the reaction we're getting from most people here. But I think that a strictly parochial view of this is the wrong one to take. I don't think you judge candidates for president based on where they live or what state they're from, even when you're from that home state. So as far as this argument about Senator Obama, that is a legitimate question. He does not have a great deal of experience, and that's why he chose Joe Biden.
Thank you, Scott, very much for the call. What do you think of how the Republican convention has been going so far, Dermot? They really had to change course because of the hurricane yesterday and are doing relief efforts, getting people signed up to help out. Democrats are doing the same, but it really has disrupted the convention. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I talked to a reporter from Anchorage who I know who was there, and he said it was chaotic there yesterday, and
I'm sure
that that's the case. I find it a little unusual and odd that President Bush would not be there. I can understand him not being there yesterday, but, you know, today, tomorrow, I mean, it, you know, and obviously this is due to his, you know, poll numbers throughout the United States. But it's an odd situation where you have a sitting president and who he is not going to be showing up at the national convention of his party, so that strikes me as a little, you know, I think he ought to be there. Frankly, I mean, I understand why he wasn't there yesterday, but I don't know why he's not there today.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Dennis. Hi, Dennis, you're on the air.
Hi, a great topic. I guess I'm kind of really happy that he picked her. This is just a comment because I'm really sick and tired of all the old cronies that are in the Senate. You know, it seems like a lot of stuff ain't getting done and stuff. And this woman has no strings attached. Just like when Jesse Ventura went into Minnesota, he said, hey, no strings over me. I'm not no puppet. And I really, really like it. It's probably the best thing that he has done that I can remember. And it's just really good. That's all I
All right, Dennis, thanks for your call. You want to respond, Dermot?
Yeah, Kathleen, that's the caller brings up another good point. Many people that I've talked to who have disagreed with my point of view say that exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would come back with this point. Why are we in the situation in our country where inexperience in government is considered an asset? If you need your broken arm repaired, you don't get the least experienced person you can find. We have a situation where things have been turned on their head, and the idea that someone who has experience in government is therefore corrupted and tainted and doesn't belong in the position is somehow inferior to a person who hasn't dealt with it before is just is backwards. It reflects there's a problem in our system when we have that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why that is the case. In fact, the guy I work with at the newspaper was telling me the same thing. He likes Governor Palin because she hasn't been to Washington, D.C.
Right. How low our expectations, which is a sad commentary, I would say.
I think we need to look at this. I mean, we ought to have people in government that we trust who can make the proper decisions. And that is not – that shouldn't be – we ought to look at the structure of the system that has turned this on its head.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that her future is uncertain on the ticket?
Well, I guess I hesitate to make a guess about that. It depends on what happens with the national media scrutiny and attention on her. She has not had anything like this in Alaska. The news media here is pretty sparse and diluted. I mean, I live in Fairbanks, which is a community with the entire area has a population of about 100,000.
Hmm.
And our newspaper, which is just under 20,000 circulation, is the second largest in the state. So that gives you some sense of you know, the lack of the media presence here. This has been magnified by, you know, thousands and thousands of times now in the days since she was selected for the ticket. How she holds up under this pressure and, you know, will be the key to how successful she is.
Scott from Middleton is our next caller. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I was curious if Mrs. Palin has a passport, where she's traveled, and does she ever told any stories about anything she learned from her trips abroad?
I don't know her exact, you know, travel history. And in fact, that's one of the questions that our reporters are looking into. I know that earlier this year she did travel to Kuwait and to Iraq. The Alaska National Guard was deployed at the time, and so she visited the troops there. And there's extensive video clips of that trip that have been played and replayed on the news in the past few days. Other than that, I don't know of other trips that she's taken. She very, very well may have, but there have not been any others in the interest of Alaska state government.
I think she went to Ireland.
Okay.
As well as what I've heard. Here's an email from Paul. At 44, the governor of Alaska, former TV reporter, bright, vivacious, conservative across the board, and he talks about her tax cuts as a mayor and her advocating free market initiatives to attract new business. As a former mayor of Wasilla and governor for less than 2 years, Palin has among the slimmest of resumes of vice presidential possibilities. I would assume that you would agree with that, Dermot.
Yeah, I do. I mean, let's look at this issue regarding tax cuts and, you know, initiatives to develop the free market. Wasilla is a very, very small town, and cutting taxes in Wasilla is not the same as cutting taxes in Alaska or in any other state or in the in the United States. One other element to this, and it's part of, she's exceptionally popular in Alaska, and part of that, I believe, is due to the unprecedented wealth that Alaska has been enjoying recently. With the record rise in oil prices, Alaska's state treasury has been flush and running huge surpluses.
Mm.
That has really taken the pressure off of the governor and the legislature to make difficult budget decisions. They just haven't had to do it for the past couple of years.
Aren't you getting some kind of rebate, $1,200 rebate or something in September?
Right. It's $1,200, and that will be on top of about $2,000.
Who?
The $2,000 plus will be part of what's known as the permanent fund dividend, which is an annual distribution equal to half of the earnings of our large oil savings account. Now, that account holds now close to $40 billion, so the earnings are pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm.
So every resident who was here at least as a year and a half ago, because that's when this is sort of backdated, will be getting about $3,000 this month or next month. So for a family of four, that's a sizable.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is. And it more than compensates for the rise in energy prices. Having said all that, we do have the highest prices in the country for gasoline, and in our region in particular, heating fuel is a huge problem. As I imagine, I think in your part of the country, you may use natural gas to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
But here, heating fuel is the main way in which people heat their homes, and those, you know, the cost of heating home has doubled and tripled in the last few years, and that's hit hard, especially among people who live alone and who are on a fixed income.
Right.
So this plan to give $1,200 per person basically grew out of, as a response to public pressure to do something about energy prices.
Mm-hmm.
And Alaska's in the unique position of any state in that it can do something about energy prices. What? Well, it can give people money.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Scott, for the call. We go to David next from Mondovi. Hi, David.
Hi, Kathleen. I want to ask you, you said that the vice presidential nominee is, her daughter's pregnant, and you said that you can't expect the media to stay off of it, and you also said that there are policy issues at stake.
Mm-hmm.
What policy issues? I mean, you got a 17-year-old daughter that got pregnant. Probably some of us have had that experience. What policy issues are you talking about?
Well, I think we're talking about abstinence only being taught in schools. Sex education certainly comes to mind. Federal family planning programs, teenage pregnancy prevention programs, all of that. Doesn't that come to your mind?
How does that impact a woman who has a daughter who's 17? I mean, what, because she's the vice presidential nominee, her
policy, yeah.
To follow all of that to the letter? I mean,
no, I'm saying that it would just be a natural thing that you would look at what her thoughts are on those kinds of issues. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be something that would be as examined as much if her daughter were not pregnant. That's what comes to mind for me and for a lot of people who are looking at the issue.
So her daughter's held to a higher standard.
I think that, whether you believe it's fair or not, and even the Obama camp is saying it's not fair, the fact that she is being held to such close scrutiny nationally on this because she's a vice presidential candidate, of course people are going to look at the issue. Whether or not that's fair to her daughter, and it's probably not, but it's going to happen.
Fair to her daughter or fair to her?
Fair to both. Well, I think it's fair to her. I think it's fair.
Really?
Well, it's an issue that's a national issue.
Something that
brings it to light.
To happen, right?
That brings it to light, certainly.
I mean, let's look at this the other way. The key thing is that this brings these topics into discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it leads to some kind of decision, you know, I don't think so. But it brings the topic to the forefront for discussion. As to, and I don't know, you know, in terms of being fair to a daughter. Boy, oh boy! Once you enter this national, the glare of the national publicity, it's a lot of things are not fair.
Right. I was reading just the other day, we were talking about vice presidents, and you think of people who have been in the national spotlight and probably undue attention. People like Billy Carter. People like I just read that Lyndon Johnson put his brother. In the White House and would let him out during a campaign because, you know, he drank a lot and said some things and the reporters were trying to get more information on LBJ. I mean, it happens all the time. They're in the national spotlight. She is.
That may be one of the most difficult things about the situation that Governor Palin is in right now is how to deal with that.
Right.
With that suddenly changed environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really mm-hmm. a more sedate sort of approach in Alaska. And, you know, our politics does get very heated, but, boy, it's not like hundreds of reporters are following you around looking for everything you've ever done
right.
wrong.
Right, and I'm sure they are now.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are now. Thanks very much for your call, David. I understand your point. Maggie from Green Bay. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I hope to be real brief here. Before even the revelation of her daughter's pregnancy, there were comments about how Biden... be told that he's going to have to be very careful during their debate, as she being a woman with definite family, religious, and moral values, and extremely popular. I have to paraphrase a quote here, you know, handle her with kid gloves. And I can't remember Senator Clinton ever being handled with kid gloves, and it seems to be...
That's an interesting point. Take that on, Dermot. It's an interesting issue.
Well, Senator Clinton had a national reputation, and she was known as a tough fighter, a tough candidate, and someone who could, who was no stranger to controversy. So, and she knew how to deal with it, and subject to all sorts of attack over the years. I mean, it's an excellent point. I mean, which tells me, I think, that concern that we have now is not so much that she's a woman, but it's not about that she's a woman. It's about who she is, and that she's a unknown, fresh face in national politics who doesn't have this reputation as a experienced political leader who is used to the give and take of politics in which you constantly get attacked.
Yeah, and on that note, we have to say goodbye. Dermot, thank you so much for being with us. It's great to have people from Alaska contributing and giving us a better understanding. I appreciate it.
Well, Kathleen, thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Dermot Cole, columnist for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks for all of your phone calls. It's quite a political race, isn't it, everybody? It's just something. It's fascinating. We want to thank John Treader as well for on-air production. We'll be with you again tomorrow following On Point for live conversation from Wisconsin. And that's what's happened. Thanks for listening.